you get home. Come see a man. In the beginning, chapter 4, the Gospel according to John, we find Jesus leaving Judea for Galilee in order to go north from Judah. To travel through a town called Samaria in order to go from Judea to Galilee. One would have to go through the city of Samaria. If you know anything about the story of the Jews and the Samaritans, you understand that they did not have good relations. And for many Jews, they considered the Samaritans to be half-breed, because many of them engaged in relations with the Syrians, who are now the Syrians, and had children and procreated with the Syrians, and so they were no longer pure Jewish citizens, but now Samaritans. The Pharisees would not even go through Samaria. As you saw the map, they would walk all the way around Samaria in order to not have to pass through Samaria. But when Jesus knew that he had to go northwards up to Galilee, he told his disciples, I must go through Samaria. If you've been to Bible study or Sunday school once or twice, you know that in Samaria there is a locale and place called Jacob's Well. It is called Jacob's Well because when Jacob settled there in Shechem, there in what is now Samaria, now Syria, he built an altar to God to praise God for what he had done for him and his family. And so now there is literally a well there around the same place that Jacob built his altar where he received words and love and voice from God is now a well where you can draw water for life. It was known during this time in first century Palestine that all pious wives would go to Jacob's well to draw water at the break of day. They went in the coolness of the morning where there were not many other people, especially other men. I don't know why it is a custom of Muslims still and Islamics and some Palestinians, but there is not a lot of public discourse between men and women. As a matter of fact, in their traditions and their customs, you know, they have to wear headscarves. Some of them, I don't know the appropriate name for these dresses, but you can only see their eyes because one can only show their full body and full face to their husband. So there was not cultural interaction between a man or a woman who was not thy husband in a public place. But one day, a man by the name of Jesus was walking through Samaria. Interesting enough, Deacon Moore, he sent his boys, his disciples, the 12 of them, into town to buy food. And he walked on alone. Conventional wisdom and conventional preachment, again, suggest to us, and I erroneously have preached this, that the reason why the woman was there at noontime was because of her history, because she had a past, because she had a bad reputation, that many people thought that she was unholy and that she was, I'm trying to get a good church word for it, a little promiscuous, a little loose. And because she didn't get along with the other women in the town, and because they always talked about her and stuck their noses up at her, she came at 12 noon in the heat of the day when she realized that nobody else would be there but her. That is conventional preachment, that she came because she didn't want to be around other people, especially other women, that would talk about her. But the real reason why she came at 12 noon is because Jesus knew he would be there at 12 noon. She didn't know he was going to be there, but he knew he would be there at 12 noon. And
Jesus will always meet you right where he needs you to be at the time he needs you to be at. She had an appointment with Jesus that she did not even have on her iPhone. Can I get a witness up in here? Thank you, Lonnie. Thank you, Lonnie. God bless your heart. She had an appointment with the Savior. When I need him most, he steps in. Of time. And so she's at the well drawing water. And this man who was foreign to her says, "Woman, give me a drink of your water." And she says to him, "Man, first of all, why are you even talking to me? You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan." Not only do men and women not talk in public if we're not related, we're not even kinfolk. You're not allowed by cultural mores and practice even allowed to talk to me. He said, "Woman, if you knew who I really was, you would ask me, did I want something to drink? And actually, you really want what I've got to give you to drink." He asked this woman for a drink of water. And he says, "I have living water for you." And then she says, "But you don't have nothing to draw the water with." She says to Jesus, now this is before Jesus got famous now. So y'all backside Christians, y'all know who he is. She ain't know. So don't look at her like she crazy, because she ain't know who she was talking to. You ain't know who you were talking to. Let me stop right there. She says, "You don't have anything to draw water with to drink out of, as to say you ain't drinking out of my cups or putting your lips on my jar. But you done had five husbands." But he can't put his lips. Ain't our morality sometimes? You don't put your lips on everybody. And nobody won't say nothing up in there. But he can't put his lips on your water basin. Back to the story. He says, "If you drink of my water, you will never thirst." She says, "Well, give me your water." And he then says, "Go get your husband." And she says, "Sir, I'm not married." He says, "You're right. You ain't married now. But you done had five husbands. And the one you're living with right now ain't your husband. The one you shacking with right now ain't your husband. You done had five we know about. You were living with the six, and here I am, the seventh, to come complete your life. Go get your husband. Because again, if you think that the only way you and I can talk are with your husband present, then go get him. Because I got something I got to tell you. If that's what you need in order to talk to me, then go get them." But she ain't had them. And you ain't got everything in place either to have a conversation with Jesus. Some people are only joining the church once they get everything right. You don't never really. Never really. All of us are in the pursuit of perfection, hoping we get it right. And we come here every Sunday morning trying to get a little bit better than the week before. She says, "You know, y'all Jews don't even think us Samaritans know God. Y'all think we have breeds. Y'all think we're less than. Y'all, we're second class citizens. Some of y'all won't even walk past our city. You go 12 miles away, not so you don't have to speak to us like church folk do. But we worship God. We still love God. And just because we don't worship worship him down in the big church in Jerusalem don't mean we don't worship him up here on the mountain. Jesus says, ma'am, it really don't matter where you worship him at, long as you worship him in spirit and in truth. And maybe God is looking in 2017 for some true worship. I ain't sure what's going on in parading as worship. Now is true worship. And I never would argue, if you come to the Bible, I never would argue that the way we do it is the right way. I do know it's a good way. I don't know if there's right and wrong. But I do know there is a danger in church hopping. And I do know there's a danger in who you allow to feed your spirit. And the reason is, as God taught me, as I taught Bible school on Wednesday, ain't so that we can have people up in here. But if I teach you, and the Word of God teaches you, that you have to be baptized, and another church says you don't have to be baptized, then you're confused. If I say do communion because the Lord instituted communion, and then you start going to a church that don't do communion, then you're confused. If I teach you just give, just tithe, and the man says you got to give up your whole check, then you are confused. And God is not the God of confusion. So here you are church hopping and going to what's new and what's going on, and we ain't got no screens, we ain't got no smoke, we ain't got no DJ. There will have to be a time when the people will have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Without Dakota, without Erica, without Ron, without me. When you just come into here, just happy that Jesus is still here. Happy that you know God in the power of your sin. But you ain't got to hear the Holy Ghost chitter to pump you up and pray you and remind you how good God has been in your life. Is there anybody in here that knows he's been good? And I don't have to remind you that he's been good. And then she says, sir, I believe in the Messiah. And I believe that he is coming. And Jesus says, you ain't got to look another further. The one you're looking at and looking for is standing right in front of you. And the Bible says she dropped her pots. The one you are looking for. That Messiah that your people even told you, the Samaritans, is coming. I'm already here. And the Bible says she dropped her pots. That pot had all of her shame. That pot had all of her history. That pot had all of her misdeeds. That pot had her 5 husbands, and the 6th one she was going to call phone when she got home and said, you got to get out of my house. That pot had everything that was holding her back in life. And I don't know about you, but you might not have walked in with it with you right now, but everybody got a pot. Everybody got a part. Everybody got a history. Everybody got a skeleton. Some of y'all got so many skeletons they fall out the closet already on the living room at the front door when you walk in the door. Everybody up in here. I know you big time now. I done seen you. I know you got your little name on your door. I know you're the supervisor right now. I know you look all holy and pious up in here. Living up in Northeast where the bus don't come. But let us go back to your hometown. Let us go back to Wadmala. Let us go back to Due West. Let us go back to Lancaster. Where you from? Let me tell you 3 things real one short thing. Don't look at your watch and we're out of here. Don't forget the water. Don't forget the fact that the first thing she came for was water. Water is the symbol of life. When Cynthia made me buy a new home, I said, babe, I ain't got but one request. It be on water. I want to wake up every morning and see water. I want to wake up every morning and remind myself I'm yet alive. Water is the symbol of life. Life is birth through water, and your second birth is birth through water. And this woman came to water to get her second birth. Don't forget the water and the importance of water in your life. I don't know, but Doc knows how much your body is made up of water, because you cannot live without drinking your glasses of water a day. Your body has to have water to live. And so she came to water to get life. Point number two. I ain't gonna hold you too long. And she not only got water, but living water, but she got wisdom. She got wisdom. This man told her all of her dirty secrets. This man told her everything she thought not everybody knew, and some stuff people knew that other people did not know that everybody knows now. She knew that he was not from that. She had never been on her Facebook page. He did not know what the other town people knew. But she told her everything about herself. And one of the joys of getting to know Jesus is that he will tell you everything you might want to lie to yourself about. Oh, that's deep up in here today, yeah? Everything you want to lie to yourself about. But you can't lie to Jesus. And the wisdom that he gives us, not only do I know everything about you, but I still love you. In spite of you. I still love you in spite of you. I'm still going to bless you in spite of you. I'm still going to hug you in spite of you. I'm still going to drink from your dirty pot. In spite of you. And if you drink from my living water, you'll never thirst again. She goes for water. She gets wisdom. But then the Bible says she becomes a witness. Ashley, she goes for water. She gets wisdom. But Boutte, she leaves as a witness. And what the world needs more is witnesses that will come tell a sinful world. Just simply those four words that she used. Come, see a man. And that's what I want each one of us to do. To start now, really. Being a witness for the Lord. Don't tell them to come to Brooklyn. Don't tell them to come to Brooklyn Northeast. But just tell them to come see a man. Come see a man that told me everything that I ever did in my life. But in spite of my past, in spite of my parts, in spite of what I've done, in spite of even where I am right now, he still loves me and he still blesses me. She went into the town, and she told everybody she could see, come see a man. This has got to be the Messiah. In spite of her past, in spite of her stereotypes, in spite of the fact that she was afraid to talk to people, because when she talked to them, they would probably think about what she was doing right now in her life. And you know, family, that it's hard for some people to drop your past like she dropped her pot. But you ain't got to worry about who knows your past. You ain't got to worry about what people said about you. Young as Jesus knows where you are right now. Everything is going to be all right. And I want to thank God that there are a few witnesses up in here. I told you all 2 weeks ago that there was going to be a wealth transfer. I told you all a couple weeks ago that there was going to be some changes in the atmosphere. I told you all a couple of weeks ago that in Ezra it says that your enemies will pay restoration. When the Jews left Babylon, Assyria and Babylon, rather, and when they got back to Jerusalem, Cyrus took money out of his treasury, who was the new king of Persia who took over the Babylon. Cyrus took out of his money to rebuild the temple that Nebuchadnezzar, his predecessor, had destroyed. Even though that they were taken away from their homeland, even though Solomon's temple was destroyed, when the Babylonians were conquered, because every oppressor will one day have an oppressor. When the Persians took over Babylon, the two new kings, Darius and Cyrus, allowed the children of Israel to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that Cyrus paid for it himself out of his treasury. And he was not a Jew. He was not an Israelite, but for some reason he decided to pay for it out of his treasury. And because it's the Word of God, and I believe in all the Word of God, I tried to tell some of you doubters that there's going to be a wealth transfer, and that even your enemy will start having to pay for your restoration. And even your enemy will start having to pay even some of your bills. Now, you all know, if you've been around me long enough, I'm straight as an arrow when it comes to this theology. I don't do naming and claiming. I'm no prosperity pimp. And I'm not going to make you drink no red Kool-Aid. I ain't never asked you for nothing. And I'm not going to sell you to win like some of these clerics do. But I believe in every word of the Bible. I believe in every word of the manual. And if it ain't in the manual, I don't preach it. And I don't do it. If the manual say communion, we're going to have communion. Say praise and worship, we're going to do praise and worship. I'm going to teach you what they said, the Lord. I ain't going to add nothing to it, and I'm not going to take nothing away from it. And I told you 2 weeks ago that something was about to happen. It was the same week that Trump decided that he was not going to pay any more subsidies to keep Obama Fair Care afloat. Do you all remember that? That he said he wasn't going to pay the subsidies to keep Obamacare operating. And everybody's premiums could go up because he wouldn't pay the subsidies anymore. But I told you all 2 weeks ago that there's a clause in the law that says if your premiums go up, your subsidy has to go up. Well, it has to. I'm trying to do it. Y'all like teaching, I heard. Last Tuesday, we were here for Trunk or Treat. And this big kid had the time of his life. And I'm coming into my office, and one of our members comes skipping to her loo, excited, grinning from ear to ear, like a Cheshire cat, and said, "Pastor, Pastor, I got my new premium notice from Blue Cross Blue Shield. Pastor, if I didn't have Obamacare, my monthly premium was going to be $1,062.75. My payment last year because of Obamacare, because of the subsidy from Obamacare, instead of $1,062, my monthly premium last year was $306.59 a month. $306.59 a month. They sent me my notice for my premium for 2018. And now next year, my monthly premium is $174.